Let us go to the word, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is the God of truth. 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 Psalm 31, verse 5 says he is the God of truth. Because he is the God of truth, he gives birth to souls. How? Through the word of truth. James 1:18 says, he doesn't just give birth to them, but he raises them up. He nurtures them. How does he do it? Through the spirit of truth. John 14:18. So he gives birth through the word of truth. He nurtures through the spirit of truth. And to those who return to him, he gives a new heart and new spirit. Ezekiel 18:31 says, rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. And then he finally leads such souls who have been renewed to a new heaven and new earth. 2 Peter 3:13, Revelation 21 verse 1 says, a new heaven and new earth. A new heaven, new earth for renewed spirit. So faith means to know that I have been washed by the blood of Yeshua, and that I is referring to the Spirit, and I have become a new creation in Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. How many of you believe that you have been made a new creation? Be careful when you before you say amen. You have to think about this. Have I been made a new creation? When is that point of change, conversion, transformation? This is a spiritual transformation. I have been made new, burying my old self and been made new. How many of you have that faith? Yes. That means you have been made new, or you wish to be new. Amen. Yes, wishing is good. That's the first step. Wanting it to be true, as saying, what must I do to be saved? Right? So that's the step of wanting, opening, and wishing. Then you can, you too can receive the blood. The blood of the God of truth, the true blood, the spirit blood, for the spirit that I am, and be made new creation. That's faith. But now we have to live faith life. Salvation is not done one time saying, confessing with mouth, with our mouth, but to continue on living each and every day until the end. So our faith life is to gain, in order for us to gain new heart, new spirit, it is to be renewed by the Holy Spirit day by day. Amen? To be renewed by the Holy Spirit, as the title of the sermon goes and the text that we just read. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. We're going to unpack that in a bit. But being renewed by the Holy Spirit is not one-time deal, but every day for the rest of my life until I leave this body of dust, until I leave this universe that will become a burning hell in the end. I need to get out. Until then, I need to be renewed. And only those who are renewed, become a new man, can enter new heaven and new earth. What's the theme today? New. You like things new? You like new clothes? New shoes? Yeah, I know. I know. That's why you like new year, new beginning, right? New relationship, new car. People love new car smell so much. They actually have a little tag that says new car smell. I've never smelled it, but Yankee, whatever, the candle store. Sometimes I go there and I kind of smell this stuff. I'm sensitive to smells. I want something that's very neutral. But there's new car smell. I'm like, wow, I'm curious, but I'm a little scared to smell that. But it's like, new car smells always good, yeah? But it doesn't stay new. That's why people like it. It eventually becomes old car smell. It smells like, what is this, hamburger? Popeyes? Yeah, that's what happens, and then people lose interest. So everyone loves something that is new, you know, new place and new beginning. It's a great idea, right? New. The people who really wish for new beginning are not just regular people, you know, starting over, game over and reboot and restart. But to the extreme end are these people who have made grave mistakes. Grave, so serious that lands them in prison. Right? So people who get punished for their crimes by incarceration. So criminologists, sociologists have studied this from way, way, way back, how effective it is and what happens in that, and you know whether that would really allow the people to become renewed and have a second chance. And I think everyone knows, sadly, that that's not the case. Even though You know, there are Christian prison ministries and they're very effective, right? Because people are remorse and they are sorry for the crimes that they committed and they want to be born again. So it can be effective that way, but it's just a small number, very small number with respect to everyone else. The reality of the prison and the prison system, this the whole institution and those who are in it is that even though everyone wishes for a second chance and rebirth, transforming a man is extremely difficult. And especially when that man is not solo on his own in a very friendly environment, it's actually the opposite, right? So prison is actually being surrounded by all those who are like those who have committed, crimes, and worse, actually worse. So they talk about juvenile detention, how that just shuts down any hope for change for that young convicted person. So there's a whole debate about what age and what to do. And, you know, when you put these people together and these young people together, it just becomes even more hopeless. There's this concept of recidivism in criminology, which is this tendency for a criminal to commit again. And the recidivism rate goes up when one is in prison instead of it acts as a form of deterrence. Like, if you do this, you're going to get this, so you better not do it. But because going in there and coming out, whatever the crime is, maybe it's a sort of like low-level crime, but once you go in there, it goes in your record. And people are not going to give them a job easily or find housing easily. You know, any relationship with that kind of past, it's very difficult for people to given second chance and rebirth and so on. Certainly, very, very small and extreme cases of like Nordic countries, they have painting classes in prison. I mean, who had? But anyway, somewhere in the Netherlands or Norway, they're like painting and they have like yoga class. Sign me up. Yeah, sign me up if it's that nice. So they have a different model, different approach. So it sounds like a dreamy fantasy, but in reality, you have something like the U.S. struggling with the prison and the whole debate about Rikers Island shutting down or not. Is it going to go or not? You know, that's still going on. But then you think this is bad. I think I saw like some articles some weeks back about, someone came back from Colombia. Yes, Colombia prisons there. It's quite scary. Like, it almost seems like another country in there. I think El Salvador was another one. Because of these regimes now, they're really cracking down on criminals, almost like authoritarian style. So they're just throwing people into gangs after gangs, especially Latin Central America, dealing with poverty and crime. They're just packing in the prisons, and they're literally packed like sardines. And there's no body without tattoo. No body without tattoo. They literally stripped them because they could be hiding weapons. And everyone is corrupted. Everyone's working together to smuggle weapons in, smuggle drugs in. And I think I saw a picture of a gang leader in prison. This is prison, but it looks like an apartment. There's curtain and painting and TV and sofa. This is prison. And some gang leaders live with their family in prison. I'm like, what kind of prison is that? So it's just so corrupted that they actually, like, whole family lives there. And maybe the family commutes. I don't know. But, like, why they would live in prison. It's just really horrible. Like, it's this lawlessness at work. And, you know, when you have system like, yeah, U.S. is not that bad, but is it not that bad? It is very bad. Very, very bad. So when you think about that, it is very sad. Although everyone wants a second chance. Everyone wants a new start. And however they got into where they were, it's a lot of sad stories. And, you know, similar to this sort of sentiment is what the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes writes, chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. It continues. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new. It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. So there's nothing new under the sun. And even if you are, especially young people, like, I've never experienced that, I've never been there, I've never done that kind of thing, been in that relationship. So still you might be saying, I'm looking for something new. But as time passes and one grows older, we look back and say, Nothing new. And I think this is why older people say it's just like yesterday. Time flies because we've done these things over and over again. We've seen it over and over again. So time seems to be flying faster. Whereas younger people, they never experienced this. So it's for the first time. So it is going slower for them. So historians say that, you know, history repeats itself. Right, so nothing news under the sun. You can they can talk about some, you know, worldly political conflict, political tensions, or social issues, but they will all say history repeats itself. I can go back to 1800s and point out to you, or even 100 BC and point out these things happened before. Usually, when you watch History Channel or your history teachers, what do they look like? Old and boring, right? Old and boring. And I was like, oh God, why do I have to take this class? Civil War, who cares about that? But now that I'm getting a little older, a little, just a little, I realize, wow, like that's so valuable. Now I'm drawn more to history. I like to read more history if I have time, and I like to watch or learn more about history of like how things came to be, because now I'm more appreciative seeing how these things repeat itself. And that's what history tells us and history of the Bible. But Bible is unique at the same time because it encourages the readers to expect and long for new things. Do you want new things again? Do you want new things? Do you long for new things? Yes. Even if the part of the book Bible says the Old Testament. Already it sounds boring. Oh, boring. New Testament. Sounds better, right? So people tend to think, oh, old is boring. Old Testament, I'm not interested. But even in the Old Testament, in fact, from the Old Testament, it is guiding the readers, believers, to expect new things to come and long for that fulfillment. Amen? Yeah. So 2 Peter 3:13 is in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to new heaven and new earth where righteousness dwells. Amen. So as we begin the Bible, we see that God created all things by his word. How did he create all things? By his word. What did he do? He said, let there be. He commanded all things to come by his word. So he created the space, the light, the space, the universe where we live, all the solar system, all the planets, and all the creatures on earth, under the sea, and on the ground, and the air. All these things he created by his word. And they didn't stick around just for a day or 10 years or 100 years, but they are still existing to this day. And how are they existing to this day? Hebrews 1:3 says they're sustained, all things are sustained by his powerful word. So all things were created by his word. All things are sustained by his word. And even that, it says powerful word. Do you believe that? And these scientists have studied and still are studying, and these principles called the laws of nature, right? So laws of nature, the law of gravity, law of other things. I can't even remember. So all the law of buoyancy and all kinds of stuff. So all these natural laws, the scientists, physicists, cosmologists, they are all looking into, a biologist, whoever, they're all looking at things and they are naming them. They're not creating, but they're observing and testing, make sure that this is all still exists. So these are called laws of nature or creation principles. But interestingly, the Bible actually talks about that. Psalm 104 verse 9. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Boundary. So boundary is about like gravity, for example. Gravity is boundary. So everything falls from top to bottom. And the reason why it's so hard for anything to land in the moon, you guys heard about the another robotic thing that the U.S. a private company, after remember the Japanese robot that landed upside down? The American one that just landed, do you know what happened to it? It landed on the side. So it's like, what's wrong with these people? I mean, this is like AI age, right? Why? Even though all these smart people calculate how to aim, you know, this little thing to get to the moon, and that it, while we're all gravitating, it's super fast. And this has to kind of match. So they're all calculating. But at the same time, the moon has no gravity. You've seen pictures of people doing this? Because there's no gravity. So gravity is what pulls down these things. And without things being pulled, how is that going to land on its 2 feet or 4 feet? It's very hard. So that's why I went on the side and trying to get the solar ray to get it charged, blah, blah, blah. So it always tells us how limited we are in our abilities, even if humans can really boast in themselves and how smart and how accomplished we are. We are nothing in light of the power of the Creator God. Amen. Still, people want to forget about this. They don't want to think about it. So 2 Peter 3:4-7 says, thinking about the end of the world, the end of all things that God created by his word. Let's look at it together. 2 Peter 3, 4. They will say, where is this coming? He promised, ever since our ancestor died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, God's word, heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So if you've been paying attention, you read the Bible, you should see this sort of linear movement of the history. In the beginning, God created all things by his present day. All things are being sustained by his. And in the end, all things will be destroyed by his. That's right. So from here, beginning to the end, what's sustaining the world is by his word. And that he, by his word, he placed laws of nature, or so-called laws of nature or creation principles, like the law of gravity, for example. So all the things that we know as the world, God placed them by his word, but in the end, everything will be destroyed. Even the elements will be destroyed by his word. And it says the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. And that's referring to the heavens of the universe, the heavens of the sky and the heaven and of the universe. So these are referred to heavens and their material heaven, material world that are reserved, that is reserved for the fire in the end. So all things, again, held by these creation principles that the creator placed, except for one time so far, as we just read, where that principle was paused or changed. And that was the moment of the flood, the deluge. Right? The deluge, where all the things, the water stays in the water surface, and there's a land surface still, and there is this whole ebb and flow. It's again gravitational forces of the earth around the sun and the solar system with the moon, all of it putting in, it being in its place. The water is being held back, or the water comes when it's time. The ebb and flow is because of this gravity. But at the time of deluge that took place in Noah's time, what the water covered the entire planet. So the rain came down, but even the water that's already on earth overflowed it and covered the entire planet, so that only those who are inside the ark, according to God's command, and that is Noah and his family, 8 in total, and the animals inside. Besides them, the entire earth, all the creatures and all the people on earth were destroyed. How many of you believe that? Yes, that's what it says. And that is because of his word, and because the creation principles that he set in place by his word was paused or was changed at that moment. To reveal himself as the God of truth, he began his schedule, certainly making man, and then making man into a spiritual being, that's a living being, Adam. And from there, all men came. But once Adam sinned and disobeyed the word of God, sin entered the spirit of man, which was passed on to all men. So all men were born with spirit, being dead in sin, and therefore all men bound for hell as a result. But because God had intention to give birth through the word of truth to the souls of men, he called the people of Israel through Moses. And when God called Moses to send him to Egypt, where the people of Israel had been as slaves serving the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, they had forgotten about the God of their ancestor, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. But Moses reminded them, and Moses performed signs so that they would believe that Moses was sent by this God, that he was speaking the truth. So they followed Moses, and the Egyptians surrendered, and they were let go. Through the Passover lamb blood, they survived the firstborn death, and they passed through the Red Sea, and they landed in the desert, in the wilderness, where they followed Moses, followed the word of God for how many years? 40 years. And how did they survive it? Deuteronomy 8:16 says, he gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestor had never known. So at first, finding this wafer-like thing falling from sky, do you think they were excited? Yay, something new. I was getting a little tired of the barbecue meat in Egypt. The garlic, the mint. I was getting a little bored. This is something new. Maybe that was their reaction day one, right? Yeah. Oh, this is nice. Oh, you like it? Yeah. Day two. Oh, same. Okay. All right. Still good. Yeah. It tastes a little better today. I don't know. It's different. Day three. Oh, it's the same. Yeah. So the new food that their ancestor never known grew old very quickly. So what do? They complain. They complain. So Numbers 14, 1 to 4, these people start to grumble against Moses, Aaron, their leader. And all the Israelites grumble against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Back to Egypt, back to Egypt. By then, they were threatened by the sword of the other tribes in the area. They were getting sick and tired of manna and only one drink. There is no, would you like Coke or Sprite? It's not Coke and Pepsi, but it's just, would you like water or would you like water? Yes, water from the rock. That was there on the menu. A menu was manna and water from the rock. And it was just repetitive life. And they were getting tired. But not only that, they were threatened. The environment was very harsh. The weather was harsh. And there were swords of other tribes around them. So they were naturally saying, you brought us out to kill us. We want to go back. What does back mean? To the old world, to the old life, to pass. What's the theme today? Renew. That's right. So they wanted to go back, and God had, even though God told them to build the tabernacle where the name of Jehovah was to remind them, this is the God of truth for them who will, according to his prophecy, do a new thing. I'm telling you, I'm going to do a new thing and you're going to forget the past. So Isaiah 43, 18 to 19 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I know your life is hard right now, is dry and boring and it's harsh, but trust me, I will lead you through this. I am going to do new thing and you'll forget about the former things. And people should have said, what? Amen to Jehovah. But they did not believe him. They continued to dwell in the past. Lamentations 5:20 to 21 says, why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew our days of old. So what are they saying? Restore us, renew us so that we go back to the glorious day of King David. We miss the time of King Solomon. How glorious it was then. Right? Certainly this is after they passed through the wilderness where only 2 out of 2 million survive, and the new generation enter the promised land. And there they built the temple of Jerusalem by King Solomon. And they did enjoy prosperity just briefly. But after that, because they continued to complain, they forgot the God, their God of ancestor, the God of their ancestors, Jehovah, and they worship other gods. And because of that, they were punished. They were cursed. And they kept thinking about the old life, the old ways. But God reminded them continually through the prophets, he will do something new. So let's look at Isaiah 48 together. 48, 6 to 7. So in the middle of verse 6. From now on, I will tell you of new things, of hidden things unknown to you. They are created now and not long ago. You have not heard of them before today. So you cannot say, yes, I knew them. So keep your Bible open. So what the Lord is saying through the prophet Isaiah is that I am going to, again in chapter 43, he says, I'm going to do new things. I'm going to, you're going to forget the former things. But he also says here, I will tell you of new things that you've never heard of. So God is saying to the people of Israel through the prophet, he will create new and hidden unknown, hidden things that are unknown to them be known. But they had no idea what he was saying. Now let's go to Jeremiah 31, 22. In the middle of the verse there, the Lord will create a new thing on earth. What is he going to create? A new thing on earth. The woman will return to the man. I know that's the new NIV. If you have a different version, it might say the woman will protect or encircle the man, encompass the man. So this may be a little confusing because return has a footnote. It's like the woman will return to the man. A new thing that he's going to do is that the woman will return to the man. So you have to look at the footnote, and that says encircle the man. She's going to protect the man and encircle the man. What does that mean? A woman's going to encircle the man and protect the man. Can you guess what that prophecy might be? Let's go to Isaiah 7:14 to see the prophecy more specifically. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him. What's the sign? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him. The woman encircling the man, the woman protecting the man is about the virgin who will conceive and have a child, have a son, and his name will be Emmanuel. Matthew 1:21-22, it says that. And who is that? It is Yeshua, the Son of God, who will come through the body of a Virgin Mary. Hallelujah! Do you see how prophecy is fulfilled, surely fulfilled, one by one? God's word is true, and to reveal that his word is true, that he is the God of truth, he will certainly set out to fulfill what he has said. Hallelujah! So the new thing that the Lord will create on earth is this incredible thing where a virgin, woman who never slept with a man, where the to have a baby, egg and sperm, to meet together and be fertilized. But here she is without any man involved, with no one involved, only by God's miracle, his power, where the seed of the world fall in her body and grow into become flesh, become human. And this means to break the law of nature where it says you need a man and woman together to have a baby. But this moment of virginal conception is the beginning of breaking down the old principles called creation principle and set out the truth, the new thing, the eternal thing. Hallelujah! The old is the creation. The new is the truth. Amen? The new will begin by the conception through the virgin conceiving a child. When, again, impossible in the creator world, but because the God of truth will now come to the world. And John 1:1 says what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Through him, through whom? All things were made through whom? We said through God, right? Through Creator, very generally. But specifically here, we're talking about who? The Word. The Word is capitalized because it is about the self-manifestation of God. Ho logos. The Word was God. The Word created all things. Say it with me. The Word was God. The Word created all things. And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of what? Full of grace and truth. The God of truth, who created the world by his word, has now come as man through a virgin's body, for he is the truth. He began that life on earth in the flesh by breaking the old principle, the creation principle, and coming as man. He did so, and the Word became flesh. God came as man. Say amen if you understood that. All creation that is in the first heaven and first earth, the former earth and former heaven. We're talking about heaven as the heavens of the universe and sky, right? So the material world, he is now going to break it, and because he is the Word who created the world. And he came standing before that temple. Now the Word became flesh, baby grew into man, and of age now after being baptized, now he's doing the work as the Messiah, the prophesied one to come as the Son of God, standing before the temple where the name of Jehovah was for the people of Israel. This is a big deal. What did he say that made them upset therefore? Destroy this temple and I will raise it again 3 days. What the Jewish leaders heard at the time is blasphemy. Destroy the name of the creator, the one who does new thing, who promises he will do new things. Again, the new thing that the Jewish people could only think of is restoring their kingdom. That's the best thing they can think of. Let us go back to the old way, because God did promise Abraham that kings will come from you, kingdoms will come from you, and other nations will be blessed through you. So they're waiting for their ruling time as the Jewish nation and all nations under. So that's the new thing they're waiting for. But here's Yeshua saying, I'm going to do new things through my death and my resurrection. Because when he said destroy, in 3 days it will be raised back to life, he's talking about the temple of his body. Say it with me. His death and his? Check your neighbor and say it. Go ahead. Do they look a little sleepy? I feel like I'm losing some people. Yeah. I know, they made it on time, but now they're like, I'm feeling the time change. Yes? This time change is all thing. You shall know the truth and the truth will? Hallelujah. He is saying, not in the name of Jehovah he will do some new things, but in the Father's name, Yeshua, John 5:43, not the world that's created by the Word, but as the Word, Hologos, who created the world, who became flesh, he will tear down the principle of the created world through his death, and by resurrecting, he will raise a new principle of the truth. Hallelujah. That's why he said in John 11:25-26, before raising the dead man Lazarus, I am the resurrection and, what did he say? Over here, I am the and the life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? He's saying, I am the resurrection and the life. You think that by the old principle, old truth, when you die, you're dead. Gone, never come back. That's it. But through my own death and my resurrection, I'm going to show you a new principle that the world knows not of. Because this is the truth. Full of grace and truth, he came because he is the God of truth. By his word, he created all things, sustained all things by his word. Now that word has come to the world. Can you imagine this? It's incredible. The God of truth had come. And that's why he had said, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And the Jewish people hearing this, what do you mean set us free? We've never been slaves to anyone. They forgot. They forgot their history lesson. They were falling asleep in their history lesson. They were clearly slaves of the Egyptian king and so many other nations too, but they forgot. But what Jesus was talking about was sin, the origin of sin. That's the devil. So he is saying that you will be set free from sin, right? From sin. And then you will be set free from the slave driver, the origin of sin, the devil. But even more than that, you will be set free from these natural law, which ends with death. Death is the end of all. But he is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Through his resurrection, he will reveal this. Hallelujah. As Isaiah 43:18-19, forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past and see, I am doing a new thing. And that he was going to do this through his torn flesh. He will pour out his blood and water. We talked about that last week. Don't you love how everything is kind of building on each other? Yes? So 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, the people of, it's in chapter 10, it talks about the people of Israel in the wilderness in parallel to the Christians. Right? So the wilderness is a Christian life. Wilderness life is faith life, spiritual life. They ate manna and they drank water from the rock. But here it says, drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Remember how the water came? What had to happen for the water to come out? Strike what? A rock. And it says that rock represents the flesh of Yeshua. He will be struck and water will be let out so that the spirit of men can drink to never die. Hallelujah. And with that, Yeshua talked about being born of water and the spirit. Go to John 3:3-7. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born if they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the? Do you want to go to the kingdom of God? How do we get there? What did Yeshua say? Born of water and? Somebody's paying attention. What do you need to be? Born of water and the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. So it's not by, Lord, Lord. I believe, take me to heaven. So this is why here, every week, we've been learning how specific, right? Specifically what salvation really means. It's not just one time confession and living like the world after that and for the rest of life and going, I'm saved, stop telling you what to do. It's wrong. Here specifically it says born of water and of the Spirit. So it distinguishes the flesh that gives birth to flesh and that passes down the Spirit with the flesh birth, and the Spirit has sin. So it's actually that fleshly generation is according to creation law. That's natural generation passing down the spirit of men from Adam to all mankind to this day, but it receives sin with that. And sin causes death in the spirit to be thrown into hell in the end. But Yeshua is introducing this new idea of spirit that you cannot see, you cannot hear, but spirit inside of man. Not only that, the Spirit of God who will come, and the Spirit gives birth to spirit, which is talking about his flesh, his blood, which is spirit. Do you understand? What's his flesh made of? Don't be shy. You said it. You went, and the other people said words. So you went, word. I heard you. What's his flesh? That's right. So right now you have to say spirit. Before it's the word, but today it's the spirit, right? Because the spirit gives birth to? He's going to give birth to? Because his body is spirit. His blood is spirit. Hallelujah. So he talked about his death and his resurrection through which this is going to be accomplished. And he actually talked about the renewal of all things. Matthew 19:28. Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Speaking of himself, he's going to die. He's going to resurrect. But after his resurrection, he's going to take the throne in heaven. But after that, he's going to return. And when he returns to the earth, to the world, he will not come to die again. He will not come to be ashamed or suffer. He will come instead as the King of Kings in all glory. Do you want to see that day? Do you want to see him face to face in that day? Amen. That is to come before him as those who have been born of water and of spirit. And that at renewal time, it will be a totally different time, different world, a new heaven, a new earth. But for that to be done, he had to go to his death first. So when men came to arrest him, he did not resist it. He did not defend or perform any signs. Instead, he went willingly, like the song that we sang, willingly lifted up. And died on the cross, enduring the shame and the pain of sin and death. He said, it is finished. That moment of his death was not the moment of his weakness or betrayal by the Father. Instead, it was him dying to obey the Father's command. John 10:18. He was obeying the command that the Father gave him. It's a pledge he made, Matthew 5:33, the oath that he made to keep to the Father. Father, I will obey you. In the beginning, when he was one with the Father as the Word. But when he came out of the world, out of the Father into the world, the Word becoming flesh, it was for him to die to obey the Father's command. Isaiah 42:9 says, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. I love that. It goes with what Pastor King, the sermon that we heard last week. I announce them to you before they come. I tell you about it before it is fulfilled. Because he's good God. He shows that he is true, that his word is true, that whatever he says is fulfilled by announcing ahead. And he's saying, I'm going to do new thing, new thing, new thing. The old things will be gone. The old things, part of this old world, which all ends with death and destruction. Now through his death, after he dies, he will resurrect, be risen by the truth, a new principle, new law, and reveal that he is the God of truth. Hallelujah. He condemned the devil who deceived himself and challenged God in the spiritual heaven and tempted Adam to sin. But through his death, Yeshua, shedding his blood, redeemed all men, redeemed the souls of all men. Do you believe that? And he made a way for all men to crucify, nail their old self to the cross and become new creatures. New beginning. New beginning. Rebirth. Romans 6:6 says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. All men were born in sin, dead in sin, already slaves to the devil, slave to sin. But Yeshua, by dying on the cross, becoming sin, taking the sin of the world onto his body, nailed, when his body was nailed to the cross, he nailed Adam's sin, but also my sins and your sins, every one of them. Do you believe that? That your old self was nailed to the cross. Do you believe that? What does that mean? Your old self is gone. That's why you're baptized. Baptism is that. To bury your old self so that who comes out? Who comes out? New creation, the new self. As Ephesians 5:24 says, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. So I can rise too, to resurrect to life like Yeshua was by the truth. A new beginning. Hallelujah. Do you like that? Do you like the sound of that? New beginning, new life, second chance. Yeshua resurrected and revealed his resurrected body to his disciples, even to the doubter Thomas. And he was having them touch his body to experience that what they were seeing was not ghost. As he said in Luke 24:39, touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. See and touch. So they saw and they touched. They touched his feet when they fell down to worship him. Seeing the resurrected Lord, they fell down and worshiped him and they saw his feet. And perhaps one person probably went, let me touch his toe. And definitely Thomas touched his body and say, my Lord, my God. So interesting, the Lord said, a ghost does not have flesh and bones. So his resurrected body had flesh and bone. But it was missing a part. Do you know what was missing? His blood. His blood. All right, because the blood dripped down from the cross and it kind of went to the ground and maybe went under. And physically they saw the blood because his blood is physical. They saw. But it is spirit. So when he ascended to heaven, the spirit blood went with him. Now the blood is coming down through the Holy Spirit as the gospel spreads. Whosoever receives can receive that blood. Hallelujah. The spirit blood for the spirit of men. Hallelujah. He is on the throne, but it's from the throne. The Holy Spirit came and he came to the spirit who has received the blood of Yeshua and have been revived. As in, revived as in not the old self coming back, but now a new self is born. So, why don't we look at Romans 6:3? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So, being baptized, right, we go in the water. So, this is why the sprinkling doesn't work. That's not the form anyway to begin with. But immerse, baptizo, means to go under. And burying is like total death. You keep the person in there, what happens to that person? Dead. Cut off. All right? So it is burial. But they don't stay there, thank God. They come out. But in that moment of not even a second, they go in. But this is a moment of burying the old self to be baptized into his death. We are joining him in his death that occurred 2,000 years ago. But obeying his command, going in there, my old self that was dead on the cross. Now I'm finally letting it happen to me personally. Personally, I am, when I choose, amen, I believe, I accept. I go in the water to bury the old self. And then go to verse 5, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. These words all go with what Yeshua said. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Anyone who sins is slave to sin. You want to be set free from sin? You want to be set free from death? He has already done that on the cross, but to make that mine, to make a personal connection, I need to accept one by one by believing, and then believing means to obey, and then obeying means to follow his command and be baptized. And when I come out, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, into Christ we go, and in Christ we belong now, and then a new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here, and you say, hallelujah! Amen! So it's like the moment of burial and new birth, and then that soul can receive the Holy Spirit. How many of you receive the blood? How many of you made new creation through baptism? How many of you receive the Holy Spirit? It's according to Yeshua's promise. Matthew 16:17 says, all these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons and they will speak in new tongues, which is as a result of receiving the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened in Acts 2. In Acts 2, according to the Lord's promise and saying, do not leave Jerusalem. Stay here. I have a gift that I'm going to send to you once I go to the Father. I will send you the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Advocate. And then they stayed in gathering. And then they received the Holy Spirit. And then it says, suddenly there came heaven, a sound like mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Other tongues means other language than your mother tongue. Not like, I'm a Chinese speaker and I speak in English. Not that kind of tongue, no. But tongue as in spirit speaking, spiritual language. How many of you can speak? You have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of tongues. Amen. Which is a sign the Holy Spirit is with. And then in Acts 19, I want you to go home and read that. When Paul was in Ephesus and preaching to them with Apollos, and he was saying, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And the people said, who is this Holy Spirit? We don't know what that is. And they said, wait a minute. Have you received baptism, water baptism? They said, yeah. And said, which? John's. And here's Paul saying, John's baptism is for repentance. You need to be baptized in the name of Yeshua to bury your old self, to unite with him in his death, to be united with his resurrection, to have the truth, experience the truth, to be born a new creature. And they said, amen. And they were all baptized in the name of the Lord Yeshua. And then Paul places hands on them. I love this passage because it's in that order, the universal order of receiving. So they repented, and then now they went in the water, burying their old self, and then the coming out, new creatures. And then Paul places hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them, and then what happened? They spoke in tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah! So they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do then? Just let you go. That's important. Personal experience. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit leads the believers to now be renewed. He renews those who return to him. What does that mean? Changing the believer. Now life has to change. We talked about cleansing the heart last week, but even more specifically now, what does that mean? Cleansing, to be changed. And that's Peter's life. Peter, who was like this right hand, he appeared to be a right hand man of Yeshua, especially after that. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, son of Jonah. This is not by your flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven, that you know this, you confess this. Hallelujah. That's right. I got this, Lord. I got this. Never, Lord. I shall never let you die. And the Lord says, you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. Right? And then it's like, no. This is not going to happen. Did it happen? Yes. Even before slave girl, he denied, disowned the Lord. And as a result, he wept bitterly, broken. But after witnessing the risen Lord, he was so moved, but still guilt struck. That some days later, he went back to his old self, which was fishing. Do you remember that when the Lord said, come, follow me, he let go of his net. He let go of his boat and followed the Lord, right? But after that, he had failed and slipped, and then being so heartbroken, now he's like, I'm going back to the sea. And then some other brothers said, I'll go with you. So it's like they all followed him, and they were fishing, like old life again, old self. But once he received the Holy Spirit, here he was in Acts 2, in that gathering, receiving the Holy Spirit, his life was totally changed. Not only did he speak in tongues, but he became a bold witness for Yeshua. Hallelujah! He said, God has raised this Jesus to life. We are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received the Father, the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. So remember, he's speaking to the Jewish people who had been there witnessing Yeshua, right? This man named Yeshua, Jesus in English, but Yeshua in his Aramaic name, which means the Savior. And they heard his preaching. They saw his crucifixion. And then they saw these followers of Yeshua who kind of disappeared a little bit, hiding, cowards, but coming up boldly. And then they are now preaching, like Peter is so articulate and he is so bold. And not only that, maybe the other people who are hiding, they're probably going like, and they're all going, what is going on? Are you guys drunk? And I love how Peter's like, it's 9 o'clock. Do you think we're drunk? And I'm going, well, drunkards, they will still drink at 9 in the morning. But he is just saying, do you think we'll be drinking at 9 in the morning? We're not drunk. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And he is telling them, he's testifying, and he is saying ultimately, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So what's the story of Peter? Such details of how he failed and made so many mistakes. God chooses such flawed men. Man flawed like Peter, who makes mistakes. He's a regretful man, a flawed man, to ultimately convert him, totally change him, and make him a man of the Holy Spirit, born of water and the Spirit, renewed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! Do you believe? Do you confess that you are a flawed man? Are you flawed? No, I'm not flawed. Well, good luck with you then. But if you say amen to the fact that you are flawed, amen, then you too, we too, can be renewed by the Holy Spirit. So those who are renewed, who purified in the Spirit by the blood of Yeshua, can have now the power through the Holy Spirit to cleanse their flesh, cleanse their heart, cleanse their fleshly life, lifestyle by washing with water through the Word. That's what we heard last week. So being born of the Spirit starts with receiving the blood of Yeshua. The dead self died, and now a new creature comes out as a result of now receiving the blood of Yeshua. I have been redeemed, forgiven, given a new life. Amen. Then, by receiving the Holy Spirit, my salvation is ongoing until I leave this body, until I leave the universe. That and entering eternal life is the completion of that salvation there. And that is, then, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I need to be born of water. After being born of the Spirit, now I need to be born of water, meaning wash, 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 change, 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 lifetime sanctification. So speaking in tongues is important, and it is a precious gift. But more important than that, the true sign of the Holy Spirit is a changed life, becoming a new man by the Holy Spirit. Have you become a new man by the Holy Spirit? You have to have that critical change that others recognize. So the Christian, the true Christian, is somebody who has now changed spiritually, and then outwardly the life has to now shine the light of Christ. So again, Colossians 3:10 says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. So others must see the light of Yeshua through my life. Not because you're bubbly and like, you know, always like, laughing. That's good too. But there has to be conversion that people recognize, how did you change? What happened to you? I have been born again in the blood of Yeshua. He has given birth to me. I have a father in heaven. His name is Yeshua. Amen. So now my life has to reveal the image of Christ. My knowledge, my action, my words, my life, everything must reveal Yeshua. Do you agree? My knowledge that you have gained through your education, your experience, or reading the Bible, in the world that you're respected because of that. So you have good grades and you have good education and good background, people respect, and maybe you might even get compensated for that in your job. But all knowledge of the world is a knowledge of the old. Yes? Oh, does that mean that I don't need my brains or being education? Certainly, what do we pray for? When we pray for souls, what do we pray for? We need souls of intelligence, yes, and character and talents, or good soil to receive the word of truth. So, yes, the brains, the learnings, the abilities, the cognitive skills, whatever you have as tool. As a tool to understand the Bible, to understand the truth, the word of the truth, they can be helpful. But if they're all still stuck in prioritizing the old knowledge, which is no old knowledge above the truth, then it is obstacle, it is barrier, hostile to the knowledge of knowing God. As Paul has said in Philippians 3:8, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. So this is why we understand that our worldview has to change. The view of the world is, how did the world begin? What does education tell us in the world? The world came about, life began by chance, like roll of dice, a random process called evolution. The Big Bang Theory, no one knows why, but it happened. So we think. It's a hypothesis, it's a model. But that is an old way of thinking, the creator, created world, the laws that, quote unquote, laws of nature. But what we find in the Bible is that there's a creator, there's a designer, the planner. There is intelligent design to everything because it is all according to his plan. Everything was made by his word. That word became flesh and came to the world. And through his death and resurrection, he revealed that he is that creator. His name is Yeshua. So critical, therefore, to teach our children about the creator and so-called creation science. We do, because so many children growing up in the church, going through Sunday school, youth group, and they go to college. And suddenly this sort of new higher education, a higher knowledge looks so much greater and sounds so much better than the stuff you learned at church. Oh my God, religion stuff, Christian stuff, no thanks. I don't want to look like lower than them, less than them. So they walk away from faith, walk away from church. So that's why we need to be converted in our thinking and our knowledge, and that is of the universe of life. And not only about beginning of life, but end of life. The world says death is it. Heart attack or whatever, stroke, or hit by a car, or sudden death, you die and it's over. But what we know is that there is life after that. But when we belong to Christ, born again and born of water and spirit, then we too can resurrect to life, participate in the first resurrection with the Lord to enter eternal life. Hallelujah! We have new sense of what nationhood is, and we belong to not any worldly political regimes or things, but we belong to the kingdom of Christ. Amen. Some people are so passionate about worldly stuff and action and politics, and they have no passion for the kingdom of Christ. How do you call yourself Christian? How do you call yourself someone belonging to the kingdom of Christ? Yes, you want to be a pride, American proud, Korean pride, Chinese, whatever you, your nationhood may be. Are you proud of the fact that you belong to the kingdom of Christ? You are a soldier of Christ because now you're a creature, new creation, belonging to a new Lord, new King. His name is Yeshua. And for him, it is not to lay down my life. It is not wasteful. It is not in vain. Because when he comes back, he promises, dead or alive, I will take you back to be with me, to live with me forever in the Father's house, in the glorious holy city. Hallelujah! We have new sense of materials about things that we need, even families. The Lord said, do not worry about tomorrow. Instead, worry about, be consumed for his kingdom and his righteousness. And if you're fighting for his kingdom, you think he's going to let you starve. Even the Old Testament says, do not muzzle an ox. What's his treading? The grain, right? So if you're fighting for the kingdom of Christ, he will feed you. And if he wants you to keep on fighting, he will heal you. Do you understand? So what are we afraid of? How about I'm afraid of my family? The Lord said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Those who do the will of my father are my brother and sister. Hallelujah. So new value system is given. And it is to then continue to put off my old self. As again, Ephesians 4:20-24, saying you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So you must take off your old self. Old self that loved to get drunk and get high and just watch TV like crazy and listen to worldly music and hanging out and playing video games and gambling. Uh-oh, I hope I'm not speaking anybody's daily schedule. I hope not. Well, that's the old self. I mean, if you're new, we understand. But if you're not new, oh my Lord. The old self, yeah. It's like watching, now live stream, back, again, I said, back in the day, like VHS and like Netflix used to come in the CD or DVD form, the red envelope. Remember those things, red envelope thing? We literally had to get out of the seat and press the thing and take it out and now, it's like palm your hand, never ending live stream. Next, and you could be sitting there 7 hours. And people tell me, like I find they play games for like 16 hours a day. How do you do that? I mean, I think you have to be young to play a game because when you're old, you're sitting that long, it doesn't work. I know we kind of laugh about that, but I know there are guilty people in this room. This is for you. It's not just for you. Anybody, especially, even if you might have cut those habits, old habits, this one by one, how about laziness? Anybody guilty of that? Everybody is. That's why Paul said, I beat my body. I strike blow to my body and make it a slave. Doesn't mean that we abuse our body. It's not about abusing and to deprive the body that way. But it is to discipline myself. So I move for the Lord as a new self belonging to Christ. Longing to finally experience the power of the truth to resurrect, to be risen, and to be lifted up out of this old decaying body. And the spirit, the new self will come out and become new body, spiritual, beautiful, eternal body like that of the Lord. Hallelujah. For that, I must overcome. I must fight. Because one is lazy, they don't pray. One is lazy, they don't obey. One is lazy, they don't come to gathering. Because one is lazy, they do not evangelize. You see how laziness is connected to everything. Therefore, laziness is something you will not be forgiven for. It is serving the Lord, not through the spirit of servant to fear, like the Old Testament, fearing Jehovah and his curse, but now with the new heart, as Romans 7:6 says, we serve in the new way of the spirit, not in the old way of the written code. The people of Israel, by fate, they were chosen. The ancestor was chosen, so they had no choice. So they had to follow, being circumcised, and 8 days after their birth, and then they have to follow the ways of the law, and grumbling and complaining and resentful, they do that, and out of fear, they continue to do so. God doesn't want to be served like that anymore. That's why destroy the temple, Yeshua said. Now, through his death and his resurrection, by giving birth to us, he's nurturing through the Holy Spirit. I'm giving you a chance to have a new heart, new way of serving, and that is to do it willingly, joyfully. So anybody doesn't want to serve because they're grumbling, come see me. Yeah, seriously. You're not doing me a favor. You're not doing God a favor. You're not doing nobody a favor. Some people are like always complaining, but they still do it. I don't know why. You think God receives that? God is not begging. He's not begging for anyone's service or anyone's worship here. We're the one who should be begging that he receives our worship and service. So examine yourself. Do you have a new heart or old heart? Old people have nothing. Old heart. Old selves have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God with your old ways of life. That must be doing with by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because our salvation is not done. And the salvation of my soul is the most important, most pressing thing. Do you understand that? That's why your soul. Your soul. And your soul that needs to be saved. From your old ways, yes, by his blood, but, and then through water, but ultimately out of the burning universe and be brought into eternal life. That's the purpose, and the goal is resurrection to life. And therefore, I need to understand that by receiving his blood, the spirit has been born, has been washed one time, but for the rest of my life, with my heart, with my mind, with my words, with my life, my character, bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-gentleness, and self-control. Praying for that every single day. Because I fail every single day. Losing patience, losing self-control. I'm not kind, I'm not good, I'm not gentle at all. But I must be. Letting the Holy Spirit take over. By grace he shall lead me and he shall guide me. So Lord, help me. By your grace you have me brought into your presence and let me hear the gospel. You have brought me to COJ. It's no joke here, Lord, I realize. But I realize reading the Bible and studying the Bible, this is where the truth is at. This is where the truth is at. And I want nothing less than the truth. Because this is a matter of heaven and hell. Do you realize that? It's not to increase your life style or quality of life. It is about heaven and hell. And it's only by the truth. So the hope that we have is eternal life to set our foot on that new earth. That brings me to here, Pastor King's letter talking about the Ark Church, how our Christian life is like the wilderness life, wandering for 40 years. But what it motivated them? The promised land. Promised land. Same old food, same old clothes, same old people, same thing over. But we're going to the promised land. We're going there. That's the Father's out in heaven. But another way of looking at this endless journey and this life is being in the ark. building it, being made fun of, being making it, and being persecuted for making it on the top of the mountain for 7 years, and only 8 people at it, and filling it up with animals, and waiting there for 7 days for the rain to come, and finally it's come. It wasn't over. They had to still wait for the rain to come and come for 40 days, and then it wasn't over then either. For hundreds of more days, they had to stay on. The whole time took, whole period took almost a year. And when it was all over, the ark opened, they set their foot on new earth, complete different earth. And I imagine that. Christian life is hard and it's burdensome, especially here at COJ. Word, word, obey, obey, come, come, and do this and this and that. What are we doing this for? For a new heaven and new earth. If I believe in the word of God that he created the heavens and the earth, and he came as man and died but resurrected, and according to his promise, he sent the Holy Spirit who lets me understand and believe that it is true, the word is true, and that one last word that he is coming back will come true as well. And when he comes, those who have been faithful and renewed by the Holy Spirit, born of water and spirit, will resurrect to life and join him and set their foot on that new earth and new heaven called the holy city, the Father's house. And in that day, let us all be there. Let not even one of us fail to enter. Amen. Let's pray.